What a wonderful time together, just praise and worship together and praying and hearing testimonies, hearing stories about what Jesus is doing. One of the scriptures we had at Healthy You that we used was that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And hearing these stories from our todays in living experience encourages us to actually expect a whole lot more from Jesus and from the faith that he gives us to believe. And I really am encouraged by what happened on Tuesday, and that we saw a couple of people who don't know Jesus come and really are close to the kingdom. Their response was amazing. And so we're very, very happy. And I want to tell you something about the mission, just before I kind of get on with the word this morning. When the disciples succeeded in seeing people healed and the kingdom of heaven come near, there is a certain way that Jesus prayed. And he prayed like this. Father, exuberance, that's what it means. Father, I thank you that you have revealed these things to these children. He was rejoicing in their success. And I want to tell you something. That on Tuesday night, Jesus was having an exuberant thank you. Like I was. And as the testimonies go on, and it's like it makes you happier than anything when you actually see the things that Jesus promised coming to pass, apart from your salvation, of course, that's a given. We're happiest because we're saved. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But after that, we love to see people blessed, healed, and saved. And I believe in these times of the outpouring of the Spirit, as God does this, there are more and more stories of what God is doing. And we need to hear the stories, because it does us so much good in a Jesus Christ who heals and saves, not just yesterday, but today and forever amongst us. So I am absolutely buzzing about Jesus and what he is doing in and through his people. So it's so exciting. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do on Tuesday night, because there's going to be another one. Well, the message that I have is going to be from Ephesians. We're going to begin there this morning. Ephesians, and it's going to be chapter 6. I believe with all of my heart that God has set us up to win and to succeed in life through the victory that Jesus won for us at the cross. And I just like to start by saying something about who you are. If you're a Christian and you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you are born again through faith, which means you're a new person, every one of you who is that is a soldier. Male or female, old or young, been in battle or not been in battle spiritually, we're all soldiers. Every Christian is born a soldier. Now, why do you need a soldier? Well, you need soldiers in times of war. Is that true? So, or at least as a defense for any war that might come. And so every Christian, every one of us, is here to advance the mission and the kingdom or the reign of our captain, Jesus Christ. And we are all called soldiers. Timothy says that endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul gets this kind of image that helps us to understand certain truths about what God has done to provide for us as his soldiers. And this imagery is wonderful, because for me, I like to work with pictures as well as words. And this scripture defines a picture of you and I as soldiers. And it starts off in Ephesians 6. We're going to kind of cut into verse 10 to 11 and look at that scripture. It says, be strong. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we are to be as soldiers, strong, but not in our own strength. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, when you're born again, the might you have, not are going to have, not in the future, but the might you have is Christ in you. I would consider you the most powerful person on earth, spiritually speaking. Because you have the power of God himself on the inside, Christ in you. So it means on the inside, in your spirit or in your heart, you have power. But scripture tells us here that we're to be strong in that power, to be strengthened and strong in it. And we're going to talk about that. But a soldier isn't to go out weak, isn't to be in a state of weakness, but in the power of God through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And then Paul says, put on the whole armor. So in other words, be protected in the battle against the enemy. We are in a continuous battle against the enemy. There is an enemy that Jesus speaks about called Satan, the thief, the liar. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus said. And we are in, born again, soldiers in battle. And if you're a Christian, you will have found that out. The devil doesn't attack as much the people that actually currently belong to him who aren't Christians. But he attacks people who belong to Jesus because Satan opposes God forcefully. Because he doesn't want us to succeed. Which is why the Bible tells us that we're to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we're to put on the whole armor of God. Now I'm not going to look at the whole armor of God today, but basically it's putting on Christ, putting on the mind of Christ, which is your helmet, the belt of truth, which kind of your whole life works because of the truth of God's word. It's like a belt holding everything together. The breastplate of righteousness over your heart, so that when condemnation comes, you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the shoes of peace. I have got peace with God. And as I walk through the life, I will walk as a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. So there's all this armor, this imagery of helmet, shoes, breastplate, and belt, which was like the Roman soldier of the day, dressed for war. So the best thing that you can do is to continually recognize everything that Jesus has done for you, to be armored up. In other words, don't be found in your pajamas and your slippers. You continually put on the mind of Christ. You continually apply the truth. You continually celebrate righteousness. And you continually walk peace with God and peace with others. You can see this is a lifestyle. It's not taking off, but it's keeping on and keeping on applying the victory that Jesus has won for you. So it's a wonderful picture of protection. Now, the life of a soldier will always involve defense and attack. So you're going to have two parts working. Now, today we're going to just look at your defense as a soldier. And another time, I'm sure we'll be looking at the attack. But, you know, if you don't defend yourself, you will be wounded and taken out of the field. How many of you know some people who've been taken out? Sadly, I do. Taken out of the faith, taken away from the things of God, the church, And so we need a defense that protects us from all the power of the enemy. And I want to tell you, God's provided everything that we need, but we have to apply what he has already given so that we're not taken out, wounded, and unable to fight anymore. So that's why we are to put on the whole armor of God. And secondly, we are, of course, to attack because we get no advance without attack. You won't see any victory in your life unless you are on the front foot, spiritually. Passive believers don't experience the joy of victory. You have to stir up your faith. You need to apply the truth in your life so that you move forward. You can't be in pajamas and victorious. And you can't be on the sofa doing nothing and say, God, you do it. But Paul is saying here there is a proactive life for a believer. That unless we are proactive, the enemy's activity will take us out. And he will gain ground that Jesus has won us to take. And also, the enemy's got a whole lot of stuff that Jesus has promised you currently. And unless you attack him, you ain't going to get it. When the Israelites came out of slavery and were called to enter the promised land and take actually what God had given them off the hands of the enemy, they had to deal with the enemy in order to live in the blessing. And you're going to need to deal with the enemy if you're going to live in the fullness of the blessing that Jesus has won for you and for me. And it's a fullness of life that Jesus has promised us. And that means there will be a battle for it. You'll need to defend and attack. Now in verse 16, let's just read this together because I'm going to home in on this specifically this morning. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Can I read that again? Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So you have this armor that I've already spoken of, but Paul says, take up the shield. A shield is to protect, isn't it? So when an old soldier, you know, in olden times used to go out in battle, he would have a shield. We're to take up a shield so that anything that is thrown against us will hit the shield and not the person. How are you happy that the enemy hits a shield and not you? That makes me really happy to think, imagery-wise, that whatever the enemy throws at me, if I have my shield of faith in place, no weapon formed against me will prosper. So in other words, nothing the enemy throws at me will work. And it actually says it will be able to quench or extinguish, put out, how many of the fiery darts does the word say? How many of you believe the word? So how many of you know how effective a shield of faith is against the enemy? All the fiery darts are put out. Now, that word, I've decided, is a bit like the sound. I can imagine that fiery dart coming. So they used to have arrows or spears that they would shoot. But at the end, there'd be this flammable material that they would light. And they would aim the arrow, not just to hit somebody, but to burn and destroy somebody's life. You know, when they used to shoot at a castle, or they used to shoot and it would actually burn a boat, a ship. You just shoot those flaming arrows. And what happens is, you don't just get the person, you could get their whole family. You could get their whole destiny. Yeah. You could get a whole community with a flaming arrow. Because what's behind that isn't just the arrow itself, it's actually a destructive, powerful force to take you out. And so a shield of faith is the answer to all the flaming arrows. And I love the thought of, you know, when you strike a match, and you know if you strike a match, it goes, bursts into flame because it's got flammable stuff on the end, and I don't know what it is, so that's up to you to find out. But it burns. And imagine now you've done it, putting it in water. Fizzle. You know that sound, the fizzle? Do you know your shield of faith will fizzle? The enemy's attack. Like a match in water. Trusting God, that's what it means, to trust God, who he is, trust God, what he has said, because faith always rests on the word, the promise of God. It doesn't rest on an idea, a discussion, a theory, an experience. Faith always rests on the Bible, the word of God. So you have faith in as much as you have a word from God. You need a word from God to put out, fizzle, that attack. And God himself becomes the shield for all who trust in him and his word. So in other words, no wonder every flaming arrow has to be extinguished. Because if God is the shield, there is absolutely no way the enemy will harm you. You get the image? And you know, the enemy loves to shoot his arrows at you. He loves to shoot his arrows at your mind, your body, your heart. He loves to shoot his arrows at suggestions about bad news and things not working out and your future that looks terrible, doesn't he? But with faith in God and trust and hope in his word, every flaming dart will fizzle and come to nothing. The evil that was intended against you will be put out like a match in water. Just say the enemy's going to fizzle at my faith. I'm going to hear him fizzle. I love that. Like a match. I love that sound when you put a match. And I just love to think of the littleness of the size of the enemy in comparison to the greatness of Jesus. Now, these soldiers would have a shield that would be the size, not of a little kind of round thing, like that. They would be the size of a door. Can you imagine me picking up that door there? That's a big fire door there, that exit. Picking up that door going, and what would that mean? I would be completely unseen. Because what the enemy will be seeing will be the door. And that door is God himself. I'm hidden in Christ. But I have to take it up and not put down the shield of faith in the living God. So nothing the enemy can do if I have faith working in my life will either burn me up, wound me, destroy me, or even do anything to affect my life. Praise the Lord. Do we have any believers here? Taking up the shield of faith. 1 Peter says this, "For you are shielded by the power of God through your faith." So it's my faith that will stop the enemy's attack against me. And it's your faith that will stop the enemy's attacking you. You understand? So it's down to your faith. And it's interesting, Jesus always made faith very personal. He always, whenever he did a miracle, he said, according to your faith. You know, all things are possible for him who believes. It's possible to win every victory you've currently never won. Because you receive a fresh faith and trust in God. And you start to activate your faith in a very real, practical way. See, God has not given birth to a loser. Because you're born more than a conqueror. But unless you know how to apply the victory in reality and understand this shield of faith, the enemy will keep shooting at you and you'll keep going, oh no, I'm under attack. Oh no, everything's going wrong. Oh no, this is awful. Oh no, pray for me. Whereas if you have faith, it'll be, oh yes, another victory. Oh yes, that didn't hurt. Oh yes. God has spoken and I trust him. Even though this is happening, I have faith. Sure and certain of what we do not see. That's what faith is. Sure and certain. And you know, as a Christian, you have to take care of your faith. Nobody else is going to be able to do it for you when you're on your own at night or at work or in a situation of challenge. You need to take care of your faith, not just for now, but for when the bigger arrows start to hit. You know, sometimes it's like a little dart, but sometimes it's a ruddy great spear comes at you. You understand these heavy, great weapons, and you hear a different kind of, oh. But if your shield's up, you're going to be okay. Because God himself is your defense and your protection. And I'm not just preparing you this morning through faith and through speaking the word of God to you. I'm preparing you for future battles and victories that you are going to win. But unless your defense is in place in a real living faith, then when something comes that you've never handled before, a new arrow, you'll be in a heap wounded rather than strong in the Lord and the power of his might, having your shield up and in place rather than put down and left. You know, some people put down their faith after church. Come to church, whoa, they go home Monday morning. You know, that doesn't make sense. Does it? Because the faith is to stay up Monday morning, Friday night, midnight. It's faith for the dark as well as for the light. It's faith in storms as well as at peace. It's faith when you are challenged to the hilt. And faith when there are no challenges. It's faith always. And we fight the good fight of faith because it's a winning fight. It brings the power of God to protect and defend your life. Above all, extinguish the enemy's arrows by faith. God is my shield. You see, true faith people always do have opposition. Think about Paul. He had faith, and some people mistake faith as a kind of easy passage through life. Well, if you read the life of Paul or the life of Jesus, it wasn't an easy passage. And I love, you know, when they took up stones to kill Jesus. Just think of it. When they were so angry with him, they wanted to kill him. Jesus just passed all the way through. Why? Because he trusted God. I remember a preacher. He was preaching, I think, in Russia when the door for the gospel first opened in that nation. And somebody brought a gun to the meeting. And they decided to take a pot shot. And they aimed at him, and they never found out where the bullet went. And he knew that God had shielded him. And that fiery dart, fizzle. We've got to start having a mentality of fizzle with the enemy, rather than, oh no, I'm under attack. Oh, you can fizzle. You can just fizzle at my faith. Amen, you can fizzle at my faith. That's the right attitude with a faith person. Paul had opposition. He had storms, real storms. He was in the sea 3 days and three nights. I think that's not nice. Really? Didn't have a quiet, easy life. People stoned him as he was left for dead. It wasn't his time. He just got back up. Healed. He must have got healed. He stood back up. Went on and preached the gospel over there. And he really literally believed that no weapon formed against him. Rather than quoted it, he believed no weapon formed against him would prosper. You can quote all you like. The devil quotes the scriptures better than you. But he's not a believer. He's not saved through faith. We believe, and therefore we speak. That's taking up your shield of faith. We believe what God says, and therefore we speak in the face of the difficulty, in the face of the problem. We say, this is, I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. I know who I've believed. I'm persuaded. That's faith talk. Abraham, you know, he had a different kind of opposition, and we all face this. That's why his life is such an important example to every Christian. Try not to sleep through this. I know some of you are very tired. Some of you have worked all night. I understand there is one or two of you who have worked all night. But I think this is a word that is needed for now, because we're going to go on the real victorious advance together. You're going to see victories you've never seen. Because it's the days of Midian's defeat. That's the days we're living in, to see the enemy defeated. You understand? So we need the shield in place. We need that shield. Abraham had a very similar battle to you and I. And that is, he was promised a son. He was promised something from God. And it didn't come for such a long time. Any one of us, you and I, might have thought, well, it's never going to happen now, is it? Because he got to 99 years old. So that the promise for a son actually became impossible for him and his wife, Sarah. And it says, you know, their bodies were as good as dead. They weren't dead, but not far away. They were like, not long now then. That's actually, but you know what? He had a shield of faith. And I realized, I saw it, it's like a shield. And in Romans 4, I just read this to you because it's astounding. Romans 4. So whilst he's looking like you're about to pop off, he didn't waver at the promise after 25 years. Do you know what wavering is? Yeah. It's being double-minded or doubting. You know what wavering does? It doesn't give you the protection of a shield of faith. Doubting, if anyone doubts, you can't receive anything from the Lord, Scripture says. James says, let him ask in faith, not doubting. Now, Abraham, after years of physical decline in terms of age. Another year, Sarah. Another day, Sarah. I mean, the days are long when you're waiting for something that God has promised. Is that right? Do you know what I'm talking about? I know what I'm talking about. I've waited for stuff and still waiting. Abraham, he didn't waver at the, what is it, a promise. Where are the promises? Written in the Bible. All the promises are yes and amen in Christ. So you can have them all. Do we have any alls in the room? How many of you want them all? All the promises of God are yes in Christ. So you qualify. He didn't waver at the promise, the word. What God said. He was like, never going to happen with this person, could it? But with God. God said it. It's not about me. Doesn't the devil make you look at you? It's about God. He said it. He didn't waver at the promise through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He believed that he who promised is faithful, and he would do it. And so, the son of promise was born. Interesting, it's called a son of promise. Well, there are many sons of promises coming. We're here, are we? Say, I've got many sons of promises coming. Many Isaacs coming. And I will not waver at the promise through unbelief. I'm going to keep hold of God's word to me. God's promise to me will not change. And even if I haven't seen it for years, it still remains written in the word of God, and I believe it. He was strengthened in the faith. He had a shield. In all the waiting, it protected him from wavering. Don't wait and waver. Wait expectantly and in faith. Don't let the wavering bring you out of receiving the promise. But let the word of God continue to encourage you to see it happen. You know, another guy who had a shield of faith was somebody called David, King David. As a young man, you know the story with Goliath. He comes on to the field where, the battlefield. And you know, everybody there, it's like, imagine, we're all at war. In this room, right here, right now. All of us are soldiers, which is the truth. And everybody's in the pajamas. Except for David, mentally speaking. Mentally speaking, he's not in pajamas. So, everybody else is like, whatever. With their Christian life. You know, and actually, Goliath had shown up. And issued a challenge. Now, Goliath was big, and the description in there means the army was describing how big the devil was. Which is what unbelief always does. It magnifies the devil, not God. You know, you understand. We need to magnify Jesus, not what the enemy's doing. And the enemy was standing, you know, if you can give me anybody to take me on and win, then the whole army wins. So all the army are in their tents, cowering, afraid of Goliath, because it's such a big problem, nobody can win it. Have you ever faced big problems? Have you ever come through kind of certain things and then you're like, that's an even bigger problem, great. You got a Goliath telling you, you're never going to win this. Look at you. And the whole army are in fear. And David strolls up. He's a soldier really on the inside. He's a shepherd. It's his trade. It's what he does. But on the inside, he's like, I'm a winner. God's with me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I've seen God do some stuff in my life. You know, it's just amazing. So I'm confident. No matter what comes, I'm going to win it. That's David's attitude. So he pops up. Dishes out a bit of kind of food for his brothers and he gets a few insults in return. But David says, this Philistine, who does this Goliath think he is? You see, a person of faith will say in the light of a big problem, and?
Come on.
Are you going to do this? And? Yeah. And? So Goliath's breathing threats. David's going, and? And this is a little strip, you know, he's a little lad. He's a youth. He's never fought like as a warrior, like in a physical, real army. And he got, Saul finds out, it's just the king who's kind of hung his armor up. No comment. Don't lead anything if you haven't got your armor on. You can't. Fear takes your armor off. Faith puts it on. Fear strips you of everything. You know that, do you? Fear is an enemy of yours. From the enemy. And it's a fiery dart. Fizzle. Fear can fizzle. That's my new phrase. Fear can fizzle. So Saul's doing nothing. Scared. The whole army. David, he finds out about David's descent. Bring the boy. And he said, you can't do that. Don't be silly. Get your head chopped off. David's got another plan. He'll get his head chopped off. And Saul's speaking fear. You know, he's speaking him down. He's saying, you can't possibly win that. Not you. I mean, I know we've got better chance than you, but we're going to do nothing with that. But at least we're not like you. God has chosen the weak things of this world. He's chosen what man says is nothing to put to shame. To show himself strong. So David, he says this. The Lord, he delivered me from the paw of the bear. Right, think about paw of a bear. So what do bears do? And you're dead, one swipe. The Lord delivered me from the paw of a bear. Swipe. He couldn't get me. Because of the Lord. I always have faith in God in every situation. And delivered me from the paw of the lion. That's another biggie. It was a bear and a lion. He will deliver me from this Philistine. No problem. Fizzle. So he's looking like his shield of faith's already up. He's not got a physical shield, but he's got faith in God. And so Saul tries to pop his armor on, which of course nobody else's protection. The only protection we need is him, God, the Lord. Faith in him will win the day. The battles you're in, you'll win it. By faith. Amen. You win it by faith, beloved. By faith. They destroyed the armies of aliens. By faith, out of weakness, they were made strong. By faith, the walls of Jericho came down. By faith, Abraham and Sarah had a promise. By faith, Barak, Gideon, Joshua, by faith. By faith. And you know, the story is that Goliath fizzled and was no longer a problem. In fact, after the fizzling, the whole army rose and said, oh, we can win this. If he can win, I can win. And you know, your victory is going to lead other people's to victory. Whole generations will rise up if you win your battles. And we'll see others come into victory when we've won and stood our ground against the enemy and say, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Who do you think you are to come against me? I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Passivity will never win. And we were talking about this earlier before when we were praying. We've got to get some gumption. A determination in the spirit, in your heart, in you, that is like, how dare you? Get some gumption and a spiritual gumption that how dare you steal from my family? How dare you come against my health? How dare you tell me what God has said won't come to pass. It will be as he has said it. Amen. How do I make sure I can put out all the fiery darts of the enemy? I take up the shield. I believe, I find a word, I have a word from God that is from Scripture. And I meditate on it, I think about it again and again all day, speak it over my life until I actually go, right, that's it, I believe it. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need the word to come to faith. No word, no faith, no victory. Can you see that? Word, faith, victory. No word, no faith, no victory. So you've got to have a promise for everything that the enemy throws at you. So that you can live in a reality of the victorious life of Jesus Christ. So when fear comes, what do I do? Well, first of all, I remind myself that God cares. How many of you felt fear before? And how many of you have responded to fear before? In your actions, in your emotions? You can be afraid. In that moment, your feelings, the arrow of fear comes in as a thought and can inflame your emotions and destroy your life. You can actually come to nothing with fear. Your whole life can be shut down with an arrow from the enemy of fear. So what do I do? Well, immediately a thought comes to be afraid of something. I cast all my anxieties, my worries, my concerns once and for all on him because he cares affectionately for me. He cares about me watchfully. In other words, God loves me. I was praying about somebody who's a Christian this week, and I was getting quite anxious when I was praying for them. How many of you can be anxious and in fear for other people? And as I was praying, the Lord said to me, just realize I'm the Father. I'll take care of it. And that was enough for me. Hang on a minute. Why am I trying to take care of all these worries on myself when God says, I'm Father. I'm the Father of my children, and I will take care of each and every one of them. Get rid of all the worries and the cares. He cares for you. When fear comes, know that God's got a plan, and it's to do you good. The enemy's plan will not succeed where you have your shield of faith that God cares. And he has power to save me in this situation. And then from Psalm 23, it's normally, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I often say that in fear. So in other words, I don't talk about how I'm feeling. I talk about what I believe. Do you not think it's time we stop talking about our feelings? Because I feel sometimes the enemy throws a thought and it can make me feel very afraid. And I will say immediately, I will, because these are scriptures I know, but I will take up that shield and go, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Shoo, fizzle. No arrow will cause me to fear, to doubt God, and to collapse in a heap of negative emotions. That's what I do. What happens when trouble or hardship comes? Because it does. I take up the shield. I will not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. I say it. I'm not wavering. I tell the enemy, even though I feel inside I'm wavering, Has anybody done that? I feel inside there's a kind of a bit of an unshaking, the shaking going on. I go, I will not waver. God has promised this, and I speak it out. And you know, when I speak out this, I will believe that he who promised is faithful, and he will do it. At that moment, my shield's up, and that attack will come to nothing. Praise the Lord. And also, like Ziklag, you know, when David lost everything, his wife, his family, he lost everything. Came back from battle. He strengthened himself in the Lord. And he basically was saying, God is good. God is good all the time. All the time. God, sometimes it's the only thing you can say. God is good. The devil is a liar. He tells me God doesn't care. When I'm in trouble, he says, you see, it didn't work for you. God didn't care enough to look after your family when you were doing his stuff. Has anybody ever heard that? Oh, that's from the pit of hell. It's an arrow that flies and has wounded many Christians. Why? What if? Why? God has failed you, he suggests. He's not going to come through for you. It's not going to happen for you. Oh, many Christians are taken out through that lie. I declare, in my Ziklag moments, I will not lose heart, because I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord. Come on, let's say this together. I will not lose heart, because I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not able to destroy your life because you're lifting up the shield of faith. Above all, above everything, take it up. Above all, above everything, take up your faith. That's what Scripture says. Above everything. You know, it's like saying to someone, I've got a list here. Could you go and do this for me? This is needed. This is needed. But above all, I need you to get that. Okay, so now what am I saying? That's the most important thing. Yes, all the other things are important, but above it all, take up the shield of faith. Above all, say above all. I'm going to take up my shield of faith. Some just stop speaking faith, and you'll lose the victory by not speaking it. You have faith in your heart, but the only way to release it and put that shield around you is to declare it. So in the night seasons, you speak it out against all emotions and against all that's going on. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You don't speak it out in fear. You speak it out confident and in faith. Guilt and accusation. How have you had this arrow? Has anybody ever thought they've committed the unforgivable sin? Just me? God will never forgive you of that. Or you've done it again. You're a failure. Has anybody ever had that one? I tell him. Because you see, in Christ I'm a new creation, but sometimes I sin. Do you? Think wrong, say wrong, do wrong. The closer we get to Jesus, the less we sin. And the grace of God isn't just so that you can sin as much as you want. That's not why Jesus saved you. Sinned for a holy life. But if I sin, I have learned that if I confess, the Bible says, you see, it's not my word, it's God's word. If I confess my sin, in other words, if I say, sorry, Lord, if I don't kind of withdraw from the Lord saying, I'm no good, I'm rubbish, I'm always failing. I'm not talking to God yet, nor is my faith up, and the enemy can take me out. The enemy will tell me, you're guilty. And I tell him, you know, sometimes I'll just say to the enemy, totally agree I messed up. But I'm going to confess up. I'm going to confess. I come to Jesus and I say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Oh, the power. The power. As soon as I do, you know, vanish the product you use for a stain on a t-shirt or a shirt. Has anybody ever used vanish? What does vanish do? It takes the stain and vanishes it. What is the blood of Jesus? Takes the stain. It's our spiritual vanish. So when the enemy comes and says, you are guilty, I say, vanished. Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from every stain. My shield's up again. I can't just carry on regardless. I'll lose the victory if I carry on in sin. Are you there? But if I go to Jesus and say, sorry, I criticized. Sorry, I looked at that. Sorry, I acted to grieve you. Sorry, I didn't pray and live as a Christian in that moment. What does he do? Ah, because of the blood of Jesus, he forgives us and cleanses us. Shh. I'm not guilty anymore. Go on, say it. It does you so much good. If I've said sorry, I'm not guilty anymore. Vanish. The blood of Jesus is our vanish. I don't mean to diminish it, but it speaks to the enemy. Tell the enemy that you're believing in the blood. Not just, well, I know that scripture, but, or I don't feel forgiven. The enemy is questioning your faith at that point, and you need to say, I believe the word. Based on what God said, I am forgiven in the moment I say sorry. And that unforgivable sin from 20 years back, 10 years back, 5 years back, doesn't exist anymore. He doesn't remember it anymore. Say, God doesn't remember what I've said sorry for. Vanish. I'm going to keep going. And I know you guys, some of you are looking very tired, but I don't care. So when I'm tempted, because I feel this is so important, what happens? This is your shield when you're tempted to sin. The enemy wants to tempt you. Just because you feel tempted doesn't mean you've sinned until you do it. Okay? So when temptation comes, oh, this is a wonderful scripture. Jude 24. It's written in the Bible. I know he is able. Say he is able. He is able. To keep me from stumbling, from falling. Come on, say it. I know he is able to keep me. You see, I can't keep myself. But in the moment I'm tempted, Lord, your power, you're able to keep me in this moment from being really angry. For flying into a fit of rage. Or for going into a mood. Both are sin. Hello? He is able to keep me from falling. And present me what? Faultless. What a miracle, the blood of Jesus. What a miracle, the cross. You're saying, I believe he's able to do this for me. And so I trust him for that. What happens when I need provision? Shall we say it? I know my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. I believe it. Every need will be supplied. The next one, please. What happens when I'm weak? Which is often. I feel totally weak. I feel incapable. If I tell the enemy, I agree that he's what he says about me, you're incapable, you're weak, you haven't got the strength to face anything. I tell him, I believe his grace is sufficient for me. His power or strength is made perfect in my weakness. I say what I believe. And that attack to agree. You see, the more you agree with being weak, the weaker you will get. The more you agree with being under attack, the more under attack you'll get. The more you say you feel down, the more down you will get, because you're speaking your doubt and unbelief. Hello? Is this good? Taking up the shield of faith? When I'm sad, come on, let's say it. Because I do get sad, do you? The God of hope, fill me with all joy and peace in believing, that I may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Fizzle. This temptation to go down, sad, and depressed, because that road leads right down into a very dark place. And so we need to say, in the midst of negative emotions, the God of hope, expectation of good in my future, will fill me as I trust in him. I'm going to trust in you, Lord. You're the God of hope for my future. I will abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Put your shield up. And finally, when I can't see the way, roadblock, what do I say? The Lord is my shepherd. He's leading me, isn't he? I trust you, Lord, to lead me. He makes a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The Lord is my shepherd. When I don't know what to do, he leads me. Paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The enemy will say, you've got no future. You've got nowhere to go. You've got no hope of a job. You've got no hope in your future. There's no way out of this wilderness. Say, he makes a way. In every wilderness. If I'm in a desert, you know, all around me, surely the Lord will bless the righteous with favor and with a shield. I've got my faith up. Don't leave it in the Bible or for a Sunday. Pick up, above all, your shield, soldier of Christ. You're called to advance, but you won't advance unless you put your defense in place first. And we can have the faith that extinguishes all the fiery darts of the enemy. The enemy says you've got no future. He says this will never work. It's been a problem all your life and it will continue to be. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Lift up your shield of faith and say, I believe, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Learn these scriptures. Have them in your heart and in your mind and in your mouth. Day and night, and you will be very successful as a soldier. You won't be taken out. The weapons formed against you will fizzle. And every attack of the enemy will come to nothing. Because you take up your shield of faith. Nothing's happened in your life that hasn't happened to somebody else. You aren't unique. You're unique in your how God's made you. And, you know, he loves every single one of us. That's why we're confident in his love. He cares. But you're not so kind of unique that what's happening hasn't happened before. And that's why we go through the word and we say, well, if Daniel could shut the mouths of lions through his faith, I tell you what, I can go into a lion's den situation and God will protect me. If Ezekiel can prophesy and see life where there's death, I can go into this situation and see it live. And if Abraham stood till 99, I ain't going anywhere until I see the promise of God come to pass. And if David stood and said, whatever, I'm going to say to the enemy, whatever, you might look bigger than me, but nothing is bigger than my God. And by faith, I will advance against a troop. I will leap over a wall. And I've got spiritual gumption. I am not in my pajamas. I refuse my slippers. I am going to take up my shield of faith. And I'm not going to let the enemy landslide my life. It's up to you. Paul is saying, the scriptures are saying, it's up to you. Whether he takes you out or you take him out with your faith. This isn't something God is going to do. It's what you do. Take up your shield of faith. You are created to win. You are created to see the promise of God come to pass. You are the one who God is saying, I am going to make you so victorious. If you do this, nothing the enemy throws at you will succeed. And whatever the enemy intends for evil, washing machine of the Lord, come out good. All things work together for good, for those who love God. Went in, not so good. Come out, yep, pretty good. That's my future. Oh, yes. All things are working together for good. We've heard the word of the Lord this morning. Above all, let's stand. Let's thank him for his victory. Come on, let's raise a shout. Army of God. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When the enemy comes one way, he will flee seven. Amen. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us. I will fear no evil. Come on, let's say it. I will fear no evil. No terror by night. Nothing will harm my life. I trust in the Lord with all of my heart. God is my shield. God is my defense. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every arrow of attack will fizzle at my faith in Jesus Christ. I lift up the word of God. The word is my shield. God is my shield. And nothing will harm me. In every disappointment, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord. Come on, let's say it. In the land of the living. Not just in heaven. Come on, in the land of the living. And whatever has been coming against me, I say whatever. Come on, say it. By my God, I will win. Thank you, Jesus, for spiritual gumption. I'm not going to be sitting in my pajamas. I'm a soldier of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks be to God. Come on, let's say it. Who always leads us in triumph. Amen. He always leads us in triumph. If I'm sad, God has hope for my future. I believe it. A good outcome. May the Holy Spirit, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace. Lord, it's not just to be a militant army. It's to be an army of joy and peace, abounding in hope that our internal atmosphere is full of joy and peace. And I pray, just lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, fill me with abounding hope that my life will just be so hope-filled that every opposition will be returned with an attitude of hope. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.